overcome, and we will understand it better by and by.
Good evening. It's good to see everyone back for our evening worship this evening. And we thank Brother Brown and the leaders for the opportunity to share another word with you from God's holy book, the Bible. We're going to be brief this evening. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. They said, how are you going to be brief and you're in two chapters? But trust me. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, and we're talking about the gift of love. The gift of love. And we're focusing primarily on in chapter 13, but I want to, if you look at the last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What is Paul talking about when he says covet the best gift? Well, when you look previously in the earlier verses in chapter 12, beginning with verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's a beautiful thing that Paul is talking about here. Like all of us are members of the same body, regardless of where you come from, regardless of, you know, what your background is. We're all members of the same body because of our obedience to the gospel of Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. We are all collectively one body in Christ Jesus. We have many different talents, we have many different abilities, but we're all one body. And we've talked a lot in our Bible class previously about unity. And that's something that we encourage and we talk about a lot in the church, especially here, because we try to get the church to understand that even though we are individuals, we are unified as a body of Christ. And we all work together for a common goal, and that is to spread the gospel of Christ and to build up the name of Christ in our world. So we are all while we are individuals, members or individual people, we are all one body. We all have different abilities. The scripture says if the whole body was the eye, then how would there be smelling? If the whole body were a nose, you know, all of the different members, all of the different parts of the body make up the one body, and they each play an important role in that body. All of us have an important role to play in the body of Christ. Verse number 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. We've talked before about how there are certain members of the body that we can't see. You can't see the kidney, you can't see the pancreas, the heart. We can't see any of those things, but they play a major role in the body. And if any of those things begin to malfunction, the rest of the body will be aware of that. Verse number 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We're all one body, individual members, but we all make up one body. When you hurt, I hurt. When you're honored, I'm honored. There's no envy, there's no jealousy, There's no contention in the body because we're all working together, and we're all we all have the same common goal, and that is to make heaven our home. And we all want to see each other be successful. We want to see each other succeed in our spiritual walk with Christ. So that's what we must keep in mind as a church family, that we're all working together and we're all seeking the good of one another. Verse number 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? All of these different gifts that God has given to the body, they all have a specific purpose, but not everyone has the ability to do these things. We all have individual talents. So I honor you, and I'm encouraging you and the talent that you've been blessed with, and you do likewise for me. So there are things that you're able to do that I can't do very well, and there are things that perhaps I can do that maybe you can't do very well. But we all encourage one another in our walk with Christ, because we are one body, and we make up this body of Christ, and we all work together. But then it says in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he flows into chapter 13 and begins talking about this gift. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but where there is prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. What Paul has said in this chapter is that of all the things that we've talked about in the previous chapter, and then he talks about various gifts that he said, if I had the ability to speak in many different tongues, if I had the gift of prophecy, all of these things mean nothing if they're not done out of love. If I had the gift to heal, if I had the gift, if I feed the poor, if I do all of these wonderful things, if love is not my motivation, then it means nothing. So it's important for us to realize that as members of the body of Christ, as a unified member, as a unified group, as a unified body of Christ, everything that we do must be motivated by love. Amen. We cannot do things out of selfish motivation, because when we do those things out of selfish motivation, it means absolutely nothing in the sight of God. So Paul is saying that if you have all these abilities, you have all these gifts that God has blessed the church with, but be sure that you understand that the primary gift, the most important thing that we can have and show between all of us as individuals, is love. Because regardless of what I do for you, regardless of how well I speak, regardless of how well I may do anything, if it's not motivated by love, it's not motivated by a genuine concern, it means absolutely nothing. It's fruitless. But I think that we have that understanding here, and we're blessed in that regard here at Sandy Lane Church of Christ, because we do have a unified group of people, and we're blessed in that regard. That's not the case everywhere you go, unfortunately. But it's important for us to always remember and to keep in mind that love is the principal gift that God has blessed us with. And that should be the motivating factor, the motivating thing in our life, in our lives, that that carries forth everything that we do. I must love you, you must love me, whether you want to or not. but there must be a mutual love that we have one for another. And that's the way the body of Christ works, because the body is also likened to a family. And that's the way that it works in families. Families may, you know, have some challenges at different times, but they all come back to love. You remember growing up and you had brothers and sisters that you may have argued with, but you didn't let anybody else argue with your brother or sister. You know, you stood up. You may have just had the worst argument with your brother, but if somebody else comes up and wants to have a challenge with your brother, wait, now that's family. You don't bother family. That's the way we should be a protector one of another in the body of Christ. We should seek the good of one another. In chapter 13, it says, charity suffers long. Charity does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Charity is not just out for himself or herself. Charity looks out for the good of others. That's what love does. Love motivates us to seek the good of our brothers and sisters. And that's the encouragement. That's the greatest gift, the best gift that we can have and that we can utilize in our Christian walk. And that's to show love one for another. Because when we do that, when it says charity suffereth long, we can deal with a lot of things. You know, I don't give up on you, you know, after the first thing that you do wrong to me. Charity suffereth long. Charity is patient. Charity is kind. Charity looks out for one another. That's what love motivates us to do. And as members of the body of Christ, it's important for us to show love one for another. I hope this brief lesson has been encouraging to you, as it was encouraging to me, because I looked at 1 Corinthians 13, and I read the chapter before that, and I said, you know, these are connected. It talks about the body of Christ and how we have the various members of the body, but it all speaks to this unified connection that we have one for another. And it's all held together through our love one for another. First of all, because of our love for God and our love for Christ and our love for His Word. And as a result of our love for God and His Word, we have a love one for another. So if you're here tonight and you recognize that you have not done the things that God has been pleased with, God loves you. And He's given you this opportunity, yes, sir, to make things right with Him. That's the beautiful love of God that He shows for us on a regular basis. God suffers long with all of us. Yes, and He demonstrates, He provides that example of love every day of our lives. Yes. He gives us opportunity after opportunity to get it right and to do the things that He would have us to do. Many times we disappoint God, but He stands ready to receive us. So if you're here tonight and you've done things that God is not pleased with, you have the opportunity to come and get it right and renew your covenant with the Father. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you don't have access to all of that unity and that camaraderie and that togetherness and cohesiveness that we enjoy as members of the body of Christ. And the covering that we enjoy as members of the body of Christ. You can have that tonight by simply coming in obedience to His Word. You first hear the gospel, which you've done tonight, according to John 6:45. Believe that which you've heard, according to Hebrews 11:6. Be godly sorrowful for all the things that you've done that God's not pleased with. That's repentance. That's according to chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. And then you confess that you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, according to Matthew 10:32, and you complete your act of obedience by being buried in water baptism, Acts 2:38. And what God does, He forgives you of everything that you've done that He's been unhappy with. Everything that you've done that displeased God, He forgives you of that. He wipes your slate clean. He adds you. He adopts you as His son or daughter. He brings you into His family. What a wonderful thing that He brings you into His family. And He gives you a part of Himself as a gift. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to help you, to be with you every day of your life, to help you to do the things that God would have you to do. If you're subject to an invitation, we ask that you come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Ooh, at my door is standing, patiently drawn, when entrance with